Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of April, and I'm recording, well, it's nearly 10 p.m., and that's British summer time. Now, you recall that Benjamin Graham said that markets are voting machines in the short term and weighing machines in the long term. So, what sort of voting are we getting here right now, and are there a few good weighing machine candidates that we can pick out? Let's have a look. First, taking stock markets and starting in Asia, Japan was down today 0.85% for the Nikkei, which is at 14,388. There's uncertainty there. There's no doubt about that. It goes back to the tax increase, the consumption tax increase that we saw earlier this month, and a little bit of concern over whether Shinzo Abe's program is going to maintain its momentum. So, as I say, uncertainty in terms of the near term. Voting, but my feeling is that the medium to longer term weighing will turn out to be really quite bullish. Reasonable valuations, and I think the programs that Modi is instituting are going to be favorable. China, the voting has been negative, although a little bit of a rally in the last month here overall. But when I say that, what are we talking about here? Because the Sensex index hasn't done, I beg your pardon, the Hang Seng index hasn't done all that badly. It's at 22,730, ranging beneath some previous highs, but steady, albeit underperforming somewhat with the Shanghai A-share indices, which are heavily weighted with banks, looking somewhat weaker. Valuations low and really quite attractive, but China remains a bit of an enigma, and so it's taking its time here. My hunch, I'll back the valuations. I think it'll go up over the medium term, and quite possibly start doing that a little bit sooner. Vietnam, I've often mentioned Vietnam as a favorite of mine over the last year, and it's currently in a medium-term consolidation phase after a blockbuster start to the year. Now, in the very short term, it is oversold within this consolidation, and having dropped back from the highs once again, but we saw an upside key day reversal here on the chart. So I think that probably signals at least a short-term low in here and is likely to firm up within this consolidation phase. But that process of consolidation may continue for at least a few more weeks, given the strong gains that we had seen previously. The rest of Asia in here today, and I think also yesterday, was, well, mixed, but a few more markets up than down overall. Europe is steady, and good gains in here today. Sweden up over 2%, 1.5%. Germany's DAX up over 2%. Solid gains here throughout. Europe was closed yesterday. Now, again, I think that in terms of voting, still giving the policies of Super Mario Draghi the benefit of the doubt. Over the longer term, in terms of the weighing, hopefully in an improving situation, but plenty of uncertainties, as we know, as far as the European economy is concerned. And I don't think that Russia's moves, Vladimir Putin's moves, I should really say, I don't think those are, well, they're a little bit of a of a headwind as far as Europe is concerned. But the economic factors that we're seeing played out right now will be more important. It is, as far as Wall Street is concerned, we had a moderate rally here today. Gains were reduced towards the close, and it was rallying pretty much all day. The Nasdaq, doing a bit of a catch-up here, had the best gains. And was up nearly 1% today, compared with a 0.4% gain for the Dow and the S&P. Now, the Nasdaq and the Russell 2000. The Russell 2000 has the smaller cap issues, and the NASDAQ, well, medium to smaller cap issues. And the Nasdaq, of course, is tech weighted, and those two indices really led the bull market for the most part, right from the very beginning. And they have underperformed so far this year, but in terms of their current ranges and the recovery rally that we have seen. And the Nasdaq has not quite regained 50% of its decline from its highs, whereas the other indices are closer. They've regained at least three quarters. The Dow and the S&P have gained at least three quarters of their rallies. These are all a little bit overbought here in the short term, but it would take a clear downward dynamic to reaffirm resistance from the higher side of these ranges. So this overall sideways pattern is continuing, and I think the main reason for that is not so much the U.S. economy's growth. It's fairly predictable. I think following a credit crisis recession, it's weaker than people would like, but it's stronger than some of the other economies. Overall, but the valuations are a bit high. The big story, though, earlier in the month was that Janet Yellen, when she came out with that bullish comment on interest rates, short-term interest rates staying low, for, well, indicating probably well into 2015. People said, well, that's a good monetary tailwind, and with some justification. And that, of course, has been behind the rally that we have seen recently. Now, I think in terms of weighing on Wall Street, this as far as the weighing machine is concerned, I feel that we'll see a lot of, excuse me, a lot of ranging over the lengthy medium term, but as we get towards the back end of this decade, I think we'll see clear evidence that we're back in a secular bull market, and that will be following the very, very long first valuation contraction period that we saw from the beginning of this century. And this bull trend that I'm expecting will this super cycle to the upside, meaning that it'll last a good 10 to 20 years, will be fueled by, I think, first of all, the USA's technology lead, which I've mentioned on so many occasions. And I think also the USA's very advantageous position in terms of energy costs. And that may be even more important initially, but the technology lead is probably the more important factor in the very longer term. It's extremely good for the companies that can keep up with the technology and benefit from the new technologies, and their profitability is potentially enormous. Okay, elsewhere, government bonds, well, they're quiet still. That U.S. 10-year is at 2.713, and so that's still 30 points off that nearly off that 3% level to the upside. We're still range bound here overall. Janet Yellen certainly will be pleased with that overall. I feel that her comments on interest rates probably have extended the length of time that we'll see this bond market range before those yields eventually push higher over the longer term. Now, going on looking at currencies, in terms of interesting developments, we have the weaker Chinese renminbi, as they are now becoming more concerned about reviving their economy. We have a generally soft US dollar, which increases the USA's competitive position here overall. And we're still on, against the European currencies, for instance, we're still at 79.9 on the DXY index. And that, well, as I've already said it, see, gives the US good competitive advantage. The euro is steadyish here, near the higher side of its range at 138.05. And sterling is also steady-ish here at 1.6824. I don't think there are too many other big stories here in the currencies right now. The Japanese yen is not soft enough here to give the export leaders within Japan another boost to the upside. It's currently against the US dollar. And we're talking about a soft US dollar, 102.59. Now, again, I'll repeat this point. I think the US dollar is an undervalued currency overall, but the Fed's very happy to have that, and that's where the Fed wants to keep the US dollar. In the and the Fed is doing most of the voting here, to go back to Graham and Dodd, and on a long-term basis, though, I think these factors will bullish factors for the U.S. economy will strengthen the U.S. dollar somewhat. And elsewhere, well, precious metals. If we look at the commodity sector, they've been struggling a bit here recently in terms of the voting machine. U.S. investors, at any rate, seem to be primarily bearish of gold and silver, and perhaps platinum and palladium as well. On a longer-term basis, we know that these currencies are being accumulated by investors. These two precious metals, gold and silver, are being accumulated by investors all over the world, not least in China. And India, and in India, despite the tax that the current government in India, which is going to be thrown out in a fortnight's time, incidentally, will be increasing their purchases of gold overall. I think that that some of the best comments that I've seen on gold recently are the fact that this is historically sometimes a softish period for the metal price, which then starts to pick up from mid-year on in anticipation of year-end buying in China, and also the Indian wedding season. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that that pattern continue overall. Today's action, silver was under was showed a small loss for much of the day, but is currently higher by 5 cents at 19.40. There's plenty of prior support in this region, but it's been quite a while since we've seen anything that looked like an upward dynamic in silver. And gold has rallied off the day's lows, but not all that much. It's at 1283 here right now. Palladium is a little better, 784. And platinum also a fraction better, $1,401. The industrial metals were mostly firmer in here today. Agricultural commodities, somewhat mixed. The big story was coffee, the U.S. coffee contract that burst through to another new high following what has been a medium-term consolidation. It's had huge gains over the last year. All because of that Brazilian drought, and that's also dragged up the Asian coffee contract as well, but at a slower rate. And grains and beans, well, corn and wheat, which were soft yesterday, but a little firmer in here today, I think. In contrast, soybeans are somewhat lower. And I think that's pretty much it here today. So all the very best to all of you, and it's good to be back.